And I kept seeing the same thing. I kept seeing women in these gorgeous suits. And I thought, well, this is not something you can do when you have a baby. I need sweats with spit up all over them. I then also noticed there was a lot of rubber chicken eating. There was a lot of business card swapping, and it was just not for me. So I thought, you know what? I need to just go find my people. I opened up a little meetup on meetup.com, and I said, if you're a woman with a business and a baby, come and tell me how you're doing it. Please wear sweats. Please have spit up all over you too. And I thought it was just going to be five of us and I'd carry on selling baby jewelry and managing bands. But I ended up launching the Founding Moms.
Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go.
Welcome back to another episode of Life After Corporate, my friends. And if you're new to our show, welcome home. This is where you get the real scoop, the straight dope, and the true tea about what it takes to really launch and grow a successful coaching, consulting, or service-based business. And we have a very special guest with us today. We had to do a little talking before we went live about, like, how do we know each other? How did we meet? Because I have a connection with anyone who's on this show. I don't just take anyone who pitches us for a podcast. And today our guest is Jill Salzman. She is the founder of the Founding Moms. We have Joyce Shulman in common as our friend. And Joyce was on our podcast way back. Joyce is the founder of 99 Walks. And now I try to do my walks every single day, thanks to Joyce. But Jill, you have this amazing background. Like, you have rubbed shoulders or elbows with Richard Branson, Sheryl Sandberg, Damon John, Mary Lou Henner, Desmond Tutu, and you have professed your love for Eddie Vedder. And we immediately bonded on that because, oh my God, super crush, right?
I mean, don't get me started or that's going to be the whole episode.
Yeah. Well, welcome to Life After Corporate, Jill.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here because I think we're going to have a lot of words to get out of us about this stuff. I think I love it as much as you and you as me. So,
and we came at it from two different angles. I mean, we were talking before we hit live and you were in corporate for a hot minute in the record industry.
I was. I like to say my whole corporate life was all of 2 years. I worked at a record label in New York City called Elektra Records. It doesn't exist anymore. But I was a music biz gal back in the day, and it took only those 2 years for me to realize I don't ever want to work in corporate again.
Fantastic. So tell us about your journey. I mean, you made the leap a long time ago, and you founded Founding Moms, what, 12 years plus ago?
Yeah. And I can't believe we can say that now because it was an unintentional launching of a business. I left my corporate gig knowing this was just not right for me. I hid in grad school for a little while and got a law degree that I then never used. And I ended up starting my very first business, which was managing bands. So I was a music biz gal for a while. And about 2 years into running that, I launched a completely unrelated business selling baby jewelry. And while I was running both of those small businesses, and I don't even want to say the word running. You know how people say they go on long runs, but actually they jog, but really they hop? I wasn't really running a business. I was hopping along trying to figure out how to do it. And when I became pregnant with my second kiddo, I was running two businesses in a tiny home office with almost two tiny babies, thinking to myself, how do people do this? How on earth can I grow my revenue? Can I take a meeting, let alone, you know, come up with some amazing strategies while a baby's crying, a kid needs a changing diaper, et cetera. So I started going to lots of women in business events in Chicago, where I had just moved. And I kept seeing the same thing. I kept seeing women in these gorgeous suits. And I thought, well, this is not something you can do when you have a baby. I need sweats with spit up all over them. I then also noticed there was a lot of rubber chicken eating. There was a lot of business card swapping, and it was just not for me. So I thought, you know what? I need to just go find my people. I opened up a little meetup on meetup.com, and I said, if you're a woman with a business and a baby, come and tell me how you're doing it. Please wear sweats. Please have spit up all over you too. And I thought it was just going to be five of us and I'd carry on selling baby jewelry and managing bands. But I ended up launching the Founding Moms.
And that's such a fantastic story. And who could turn down that invitation, right? So you understood your client audience so well, like giving them permission. Yes, show up in your sweats, show up with spit up on yourself, and join us, because there is no room that exists for us. So we're going to have to make our own.
Absolutely. And in fact, I'm laughing at the fact that you were suggesting that I knew the audience, because really the audience was me. But I have learned year after year after year that they continue to inform me about them in ways that I still don't understand. So I'm a very transparent entrepreneur who likes to tell folks. I'm constantly trying to figure it out. But I knew that there was such a need when so many women showed up going, me too, that we all just decided to keep on meeting. And then it grew to different cities, and it's become an amazing global community ever since. And I love it to pieces, although I didn't mean to launch it.
That's so fantastic. You know, I always say you want to be where everyone knows your name and they're always glad you came, right? It's like cheers. And I think that's what brings people together. And, you know, naturally for me, coming from the corporate world, coming from the market research space, coming from product development and services, you want to find the gap. You want to find what's missing in the marketplace. Yeah. Where is there a need? Where is there demand? Find the demand before you build the supply, because otherwise you're like this hammer in search of a nail. Like, where are the people who want what I have to sell when they're just not there? So, I mean, you fell into it. You have a natural instinct. You have great intuition. You knew yourself and you knew there must be other people out there like me.
It was more of a hope. Yeah. And then when they did show up, I realized, it took me about 6 months to realize this feels a lot bigger than anything I've ever done. I did the traditional market research backwards, where instead of going out then and figuring out by data what I was trying to do or serve, I ended up essentially following the members and having them tell me what they needed at this point, what they needed at that point, et cetera, and building on the actual live feed of intel that I was getting, which was great. It's just another way to do it.
Yeah, it's just another way to do it. Just dive right in. So tell me about why mompreneurs, or I call them mompreneurs, why founding moms are different than other female entrepreneurs.
Yeah, that answer completely depends on how you self-identify, because I will continue 12 years later to meet a lot of women who don't identify as a mom entrepreneur, even though they have kids, even if their kids are out of the house. And then I'll meet other women who become founding moms, meaning they join our community, because they do identify with it. And by that, I mean, they understand, I'm going to use a tough word, they understand the crazy of being a mom and being a business owner, and how, in fact, I believe they're quite similar. You know, your business is your baby. It's constantly evolving, constantly changing. Once you think you've figured it out, there's something new that you have to acclimate to or get adjusted to. So there's a lot of commonality with it. But trying to do both, raising a family, building a business, and actually acknowledging and talking about both and not keeping them so separate and saying, no, I'm a businesswoman. I go home to my family. We do a lot of pulling those things together, because for us, that's just the reality.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So you started 12 years ago. What does Founding Moms offer for moms? So it's this certainly safe container where you can bring all of yourself to the table. It's not just about business, not just about, you know, the fight you had with your husband last night or how your kid had a meltdown in Target, right? Yeah. So what is it all about? What's the experience?
Yeah.
Like?
Well, you'd be surprised when I tell you that we don't actually talk that much about our kids, our families. We don't bring the emotional horrors to the community constantly. We instead are a very practical, actionable group. We try to educate one another constantly on really three main areas: their marketing, their branding, and their sales. Because the women who join us for really two reasons. Either she's been running her business, she's been quite successful, she's good at what she does, but she's really lonely and she needs a community that understands her plight, her situation of being a mom and a business owner. Or she's really loving being an entrepreneur. She knows what she wants to sell, but she's not very good at getting it out the door. She's not very good at doing the marketing or the branding or the sales. So we have loads of resources. We drop a new video course every month. We have live events with different experts all the time. We have special spaces in our community, which is hosted on a platform called Circle, where folks can, you know, announce their goals so that we can hold them accountable to them. We help women find really affordable virtual assistants. Literally any resource you can think of, we will either provide or go find for her so that she can carry on and do it while she's trying to juggle all the things.
Wow, that's a fantastic resource. And entrepreneurship is very isolating, especially for women. I mean, I work from home. My son's fully grown, but when I started, he was 13, you know, so I had to build in that time in my day to go to soccer games and pick him up from school before he could drive. Now I have a 9-month-old rescue dog who sometimes scratches at my door in the middle of podcasts. But so it's a different kind of mommy. But, you know, how did you build that out? I mean, you must have support. Like, how did you build that out? So I know there's many people in this community who are thinking about starting communities. So let's talk about what it takes to really grow a successful community, because that's what you have.
So much I love your question, because when I started, I would try to explain what the Founding Moms was. And 12 years ago, no one knew the word community. It's such a buzzword now. I love that we all know not only what it is, but how important it is. And I know so many people who run communities now. We all love finding one another. If anybody listening wants to reach out, we love connecting because we all understand how important it is for folks. When I tell you how piecemeal it was, I started out literally showing up in person to one cafe. And about 6 months in, when somebody said, you know, I'd love to go to a second location, I hate driving all the way out here. It was 4 miles, very lazy woman, but she inspired me to second location. She ended up being the instigator for me to go, all right, I got to get my stuff together. So eventually I realized, oh, we need an agenda at these meetings. Then somebody a few months later would say, oh, where's your newsletter? Oh, I need a newsletter. So it was sort of stumbling my way into building a community. And now with lots of hindsight, I can tell you it is the most rewarding work in the world, as you know, because you have your own community. It's so rewarding. I can't say enough good things about it, but there are a lot of nuances to collecting a group of people who have a common interest and yet making them all feel satisfied being a part of the community, which that's really the biggest challenge I think there is. I've even strayed so far. I don't think I'm answering your question anymore.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I'll draw you back in.
Yes, so, please.
So I think what many people don't understand is that the value of the community is the people in it. And in order to have a valuable community, you need to have enough value in the community that gets people not only to stay, but to invite their friends so that the community grows exponentially. And then, you know, with the new services, I'm just summarizing kind of what you've already said. I'm not an expert in community by a long shot. Yeah. But by answering the needs of the community, when a need is expressed, like we were talking before, like, oh, you need to hire a virtual assistant. Let me, you know, find resources for virtual assistants for you. You want a newsletter? Let me develop a newsletter. So where has that gone now from those early days and those meetups and cafes? So what would you say the secret ingredients are to founding moms that has made it? And where is it today? Like, how big is it? How many members? What's involved?
I'm sure it's a much more complicated answer that I'm going to give that would last hours to answer you really clearly and completely. But I will say, from when we began, we were offline only meeting up in real life. And that grew to about 30 cities over 6 to 8 years. We didn't even have an online platform. And in all of that time, I realized how important, just as you said, how important it is to really understand what your members need rather than, oh, I'm the typical person and I'm the community leader, so I'm just going to spout off what I think everybody needs. It is a complete waste of time for you to do that, no matter how much you identify with your community members. So along with that, we ended up about 6 years in launching an online platform that you can now join. The pandemic, frankly, it killed a lot of, almost all of our, what we call founding exchanges, which are our in-person groups. So we're relaunching that this year, fortunately. And I, in my heart of hearts, still believe that face-to-face is number one. You can't beat that. You can't get as much work done as you will face-to-face with even just one person. But the way it looks now is we've stayed true to our, I hate the word mission, but our, I prefer sort of like our branding look, our feel, our, we provide a feeling of joy, a feeling of fun. I hate that people think business has to be boring. So we strive in everything we do, from the workshops we run to the colors on our website, to the videos we make, to make sure you understand, like, let's just have a good time. You can make a ton of money and you still can smile throughout it and not be bogged down just because you're one of the busiest people you've ever met. So I think keeping that branding feel, that mission, whatever you want to call it, along for the ride and making sure our members feel heard, those are probably the two main ingredients. And as long as everybody feels like they understand where they are within our community, we hear them, we see them, we want to know what's going on with them, they feel cared for, they want to stay.
And I think those values are clearly expressed on your homepage, right? Foundingmoms.com, is that it?
Yeah,
it is the most fun homepage that I've done in a really long time. And
awesome.
Because, you know, you have these animated people, these squares of animated people, and everybody's mouths are going up and down. There's no sound coming out, but you get the fact that, you know, this is about connecting. This is about expressing yourself. This is about being heard. And then there's clearly, you know, where are you on your journey? Are you launching? Are you growing? And so the resources there are different for you. And, you know, we do the same in the launch lab and the accelerator. You know, our launch lab is where you figure it all out. The accelerator is where you grow. So I'd love to hear more about, you know, like, where is the community now? Like, why do people join you? And is it a combination of in-person and online? And what can people expect? Because I'm sure we're going to drop a link for them to check
out. They all come check it out. It's interesting running a community because I know if you're in a corporate gig, it's very easy. You know your exact target market. You know the one to two reasons they join you. Really, frankly, people join for a variety of different reasons. And again, the two underlying core pieces are they know they can't build their businesses alone. They know they need community. They know they need a place to do it with other people to bounce ideas off, brainstorm, partner, et cetera. So that's one of the things that brings them. The other reason really is that they have probably tried to get better at marketing or branding or sales and have felt some shame, you know, wherever they go. If they go to a big fancy corporate meeting to try and figure out the very basics of marketing, they're fearful that they're going to be laughed at, that it's embarrassing. I worked in corporate for so long. I should know these things. And, you know, we kind of treat everybody like this. There's no reason you can't not only ask the most basic of questions, but we have members who've been with us for over a decade who will show up to the same live workshops every year and want the same information spouted at them again, because we also forget. So I view us as sort of, you know, a community of reminders.
We're all evolving and changing. Right. You as the leader evolving and shaping. And so it's almost like you go back a second time or a third or a fourth time and you're hearing things with new ears. You haven't heard them. You haven't been the person you are right now or hearing it in the same way that you do. It boggles my mind too. So every other month I do the same training. And sometimes the same people show up over and over again. I'm like, why are you here? You were here 2 months ago.
It's so funny. Although, to be honest, I don't know if this happens with you, Deborah, but I will spout off something I've talked about every single year and then kind of myself go, oh, wait a second. I should go back and do that now. It's helpful for me too. So I think that most of where we are now, it's funny to even say that because I know we're just going to keep evolving. But we are now, once you join the Founding Moms, you get one singular membership that allows you to access different levels of things online. But if you join our Grow It membership, for example, you get everything under the sun online, and you get to join any of our founding exchanges in any cities where we are. And right now, we're not in many. So we're looking for a bunch of leaders in different cities to get them going again. But yeah, the hope is that you take advantage of whatever you need in the moment you need it. You come and go as you please, but you hopefully go to a founding exchange because it just... it's so magical. You know that from any networking event you've been to.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've led many of them. There have been many women entrepreneurs communities that I've created. Right now, I'm a chapter leader for Elevate Network in New York. We have a segment for women entrepreneurs as well, because, you know, women don't stay in corporate forever. You know, there's a time when either you age out or you burn out or you're... certainly after COVID, when people had that sense of flexibility, like, oh, wow, this feels good.
Yeah.
You mean I don't have to go to the office all the time? And then they started looking for those opportunities. And now all the companies are dragging them back in. I want you on the carpet. And they're saying, well, no, maybe I should just take my skills. And instead of leaning in, maybe I'll just opt out and launch something on my own.
Yeah. I, you know, we get quite a number of corporate folks, former corporate folks. And I do want to put out there, when I was in corporate, I loved it. I loved the structure. I loved the stable paycheck, all of that good stuff. But there's some beautiful thing that happens when folks come over to the dark side and become entrepreneurs, because we've had enough of them come over for all the reasons you just mentioned, you know, burnout, or they had a baby and they don't want to stay anymore. And most often I will hear, oh my goodness, I didn't realize I could have such a good time while I'm doing this stuff. Because we've had also a number of corporate women come over and try to run their businesses like it's a tiny corporate machine. And it never worked. And so they think, oh my goodness, I'm failing at entrepreneurship. When really, I do want to say that it's kind of like a place where they can come over and relax. We had an 82-year-old new member join us last year, who after all of her life being in corporate, decided, I'm going to go out there and try it. She said she's never had more fun in her whole life. And I'm so proud of her starting a business at 82. It's pretty great. Yeah.
That's fantastic. And there's nothing like entrepreneurship. There's two sides of the coin. It will kick up all your stuff, because wherever you go, there you are. So whatever you dealt with in corporate will only be amplified and magnified once you're out on your own. And also, it's the biggest opportunity for you to grow into who you really are, as opposed to what you have been shaped to believe that you are.
Oh, I love that. We're going to have you come and talk to our community about that, because I always forget to tell folks to think entrepreneurship is sexy, or I do talk a lot about how much fun it is, but it is such a supportive way to evolve as a human being. Mm-hmm. And your evolution often matches your business's evolution. So we talk annually and always about raising your prices, for example. And there will be women who for years will hear that advice and go, well, I'm not ready. I can't do it. It's not for me. And then, you know, she'll sort of like bloom as a human being and realize all kinds of things that she's uncovered and go, oh, I am ready. This wasn't so hard. But it takes a while to get there for a lot of women.
Well, because we're women. We undercharge for our services because we're women. We've kind of psychologically bought into the narrative that we earn 79 cents on the dollar. And I just want to shock you for a moment. I don't know if you know this statistic, but women entrepreneurs earn 30 cents to the dollar of revenue compared to all small businesses.
I did not know that.
Oh, 30 cents. It's horrifying. Well, so, you know, this conditioned set of lowered expectations that have been reinforced in us through culture, through corporate culture, through how some of us were raised, you know, not all of us, but not all of us had parents who said, oh my God, you're fantastic. You can do anything. You can be president of the United States. No, the boys got very different messages than the girls. So we bring this with us to entrepreneurship, and then the self-esteem, the self-confidence, everything gets all caught up in pricing. I'd be happy to do the pricing masterclass for your people because everyone walks away from that session doubling their prices. Yeah. So I want to switch it just for a second, Jill. And I want to ask you how you have grown in this process of growing the Founding Moms.
How much time do we have? I have grown so much. And yet I'm really, no one's ever asked me that question. And I'm struggling because there have been so many changes over time. I will say that one of the biggest pieces I've noticed myself, other than the obvious ones of self-worth, confidence, and I started out with a lot of confidence. I'm quite the extrovert. But confidence in terms of offerings, what I can charge, what I believe people will pay for, is astronomical because the first 3 years I ran the Founding Moms, I charged $0. And I moved it up to a whopping $10 a month for people to join because I was just not in the place I am now. I also began at a time where I would take my profile picture and I would put it through a website that cartoonized photos. I was so fearful of people seeing who I was. And I think it was sort of more of a metaphor. You know, like I literally didn't want them to see me and I didn't want them to see me because who was I to do this? Why would they be interested in anything I had to say? So I had to grow into having the voice to speak on behalf of women in business, mom entrepreneurs, a woman who feels she is worth charging whatever she charges, all of that. So I've evolved tremendously and I really don't feel cooked yet. I'm not done.
We're never done.
More to work. No, do you feel done?
No, I'm not done. I'm just beginning.
No, okay,
Like this year, I feel like there's this next level, right? So I'm in my next level year. So I've been in this for 10 years and I don't need any more business skills. I know where I'm going. I know how to do it. There's nothing of the practicalness that I don't know. It's who am I allowing myself to be?
Yes. Yeah, I do notice from a lot of entrepreneurs I talk to and a lot of our membership are older. We sound like from the Founding Moms name that we're all women with babies. But our membership is really 40 to 65 and over. And I hear from a lot of the members that we have, myself included, the first half, I don't know, quarter of your entrepreneurial journey is all about the doing. And then once you kind of get situated in the doing, it becomes all about the being. And everybody kind of figures out that the being really affects the doing, but you can't. It like can't be done the other way, or I don't know many people who do it that way.
That's so, right. It's all about the being. If you take one thing away from this conversation today, it's not about the doing. It's all about the being. And so when you evolve as an entrepreneur, because that's the one thing that'll take you down is if you don't step into a bigger vision or if you don't believe that something's possible, even if you have to borrow belief. I know a lot of my clients borrow my belief in them until they feel it for themselves, right?
Love that. And that's why we have communities, because you need to borrow a lot of stuff from a lot of other members in order to be able to move forward. But we literally just had a workshop hosted by a brilliant guy who knows what he's talking about when it comes to being. And it was called, actually, I can't remember, but it was basically on the topic of how busy are you? Because everybody uses the word busy to get out of things, to keep moving, to busy, 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 I'm busy. And it's just the best excuse we all have to not be, to just not sit and figure out who you are so you can do in a more elevated way.
But absolutely.
Yeah, I love that stuff. Yeah, really interesting. So I'm on the journey along with you.
We're on the journey. And, you know, Jill, just a random question, really. Do you have one piece of advice for those who are just getting started, you know, based on what you know from the women in your community of what they need to know most when they're in those FFTs, those effing first times of entrepreneurship, if you had to lean on one phrase or one belief, what would that be?
It's a long phrase. Go out and talk to somebody. That's it. That's all I got. Because there are too many of us working at home alone too frequently. When we go out to any meeting whatsoever, it's really hard to talk about yourself, to ask for what you need, to raise your hand and invite help in. Maybe that's the phrase. Invite help in, but leave your house to go do it. Because it's you really can get stuck in a place that's very lonely, very hard to move forward, very stuck if you don't.
Yeah. So, and stop listening to that voice that says, I should be able to figure this out on my own.
You know? My God, please, none of us can figure anything out. We're all I can't even tell people, you know, like Jeff Bezos hasn't figured it out yet. You know what I mean? Bill Gates hasn't figured it all out yet. They figured out more money than us. But nobody knows what they're doing at any moment in entrepreneurship. And as long as you can embrace that, you'll be way less embarrassed to ask for help. And you'll realize we all want to help you. Everybody wants to help you. But it's so hard. We are so trained and inculcated to believe that nobody wants to help us.
Ask for help. On that note, Jill, thank you so much. For our listeners who want to find out more about Founding Moms, what do they do?
They just go to foundingmoms.com. We are everywhere, all over the socials. But come to the site. Come say hi. I will throw in, I also have a podcast called Why Are We Shouting, which highlights all of the mistakes that we all make. That's just to reinforce to everybody why you should invite help, because we all just make mistakes all the time. And I talk about it every week.
Thanks so much, Jill. This has been absolutely delightful. Thank you for joining us on Life After Corporate.
And so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're so welcome. So welcome. And we'll thank Joy Shulman for the connection. And that's it for now, my friends. We will be back next week with some more great insights, advice, tools, techniques, whatever you need. Drop us a note in chat. Leave us a rating or review wherever you are getting this podcast streamed to you. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.